Amen. 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 Excuse me while I move all these wires and stuff. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for the service tonight. Father, we thank you for being here amongst us. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that works wonders in us. And we thank you, Lord, for the word that it's your word and it touches our heart and our soul. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm gonna ask you to turn your Bibles to Matthew. And I believe that what God has been telling me for a few weeks and just my own personal study time and going along with what Pastor Calvin was talking about on Sunday, and I just think it goes together, and I believe that the Holy Spirit wants me to share this with you. And so I'm going to share this with you. As I was preparing, I like history, and I was reading a story about the Revolutionary War. And so I read the story, and it took place sometime around Revolutionary War. I think it was late 1770s or 1780. I forget what time it was. But a man dressed in civilian clothes was riding past some soldiers who were repairing a defensive barrier from the British. And as the story goes, several soldiers were working while another was shouting at them, "Hey, you, get to work! Hey, you, get to work! Hey, you, get to work!" And the men that were making this barrier were looking exhausted, and this man was shouting at them. And so the rider on the horse stopped and asked the man who was giving the orders, "Hey, why aren't you helping these men?" And the man replied with, you know, very prideful, "Sir, I'm a corporal. I don't work like a private." So the traveler very humbly said, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." He got off his horse and he proceeded to help the exhausted men build that barrier. And when the job was done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, I've learned that I should never ask a man to do a job that I was not willing to do myself, no matter what the rank." And as the story goes, that was General George Washington as he was going to a meeting. And so at that time, General Washington was the commander of the army. And so I don't know if that's the story. If it's true, then it's true. If not, but it makes a good point. And as I was doing my studying in Matthew 20, it's just interesting that those stories come up and people look at those stories, and whether they're true or not, it serves a good point. That serving others is important no matter what position that you're in. No matter where you are or what rank you are, if it's military or whatever it is, where you're at in life. So the text that I'm going to be reading from is Matthew 20. We're going to start in verse 26, and it says, "Whoever desires to become great," this is the New King James, "whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Amen. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Thank you for that. And in reading this, it occurred to me that Jesus called us to a purpose, right? He called us to serve one another. As the word says, whoever desires to become great, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. He called us for a purpose. He called us for many things, but I believe one of the biggest things is to serve. In fact, if we, in different versions, if you put all the versions together and just make a statement about this particular verse, it basically says, if you want to be great, we have to be a servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to serve. All right, we should serve one another. And in reading some text and through here, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. We need to serve other people. Amen? And I've been dealing with this because sometimes, I don't want to do certain things, but I don't want to do certain things with certain people because I don't really feel like it. And I'm sure we've been there. But if I'm able to do it, then maybe I should. Because we were created to serve. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In your Bible, I'd like you to circle this. I want you to circle, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And this is what goes along with what Pastor Calvin was talking about on Sunday. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, in which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The message is, I think, for all of us believers, and we who are in Christ are here to do good works. If you are a Christian, or if you are a believer, you were created for service. You were created for service. I was created for service. We were created for service. And serving is the evidence that you belong to Christ. Amen. In Romans chapter 7, verse 4, in fact, the Bible does say, we should bear fruit to God. Our Father, it says again in John chapter 15, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So by producing good fruit, it means we have to actually do something. And my Father in John chapter 15, verse 8 says, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Amen. God says that the way that you know that you're a part of the body of Christ is that you serve other people. It's proof. The old saying is proof in the pudding, you know. That's the proof that you're a believer in Christ, that you're a follower of Christ, is that you were made to serve other people, that you're made to serve them. And a non-serving Christian is like a contradiction, I think. Right? It's a contradiction. A non-serving Christian is not... If we were made to serve, and if we believe in Christ, and Christ said that we are his workmanship in order to do good works, and if we read back in where we started in Matthew 28, is that if the greatest among you should be the servant, right? So we are made to serve, and so a non-serving Christian is a contradiction. Amen? 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 So I honestly believe that if you find a person who calls them a Christian and they're not serving, that part that says they're a Christian, it may not be necessarily true fully. Because of what we just laid out. Amen? We were created to serve, and the serving is the evidence, right? And we talked about it, it's the evidence. And the third thing, serving others is a way to serve God. Amen? We all know that. Right, we all know that serving other people is a way to serve God, and in Colossians 3, verse 23, I think is a good example of the scripture. It says, "Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically, as someone doing something for the Lord." All right, and so serving others is a way to serve the Lord. No matter what you're doing, we have to ask the question: then, why am I doing this? An even better question would be: who am I doing this for? Are you doing it for the Lord? Are you doing it, as Colossians 3:23 says, are you doing this as if you were doing it for the Lord? As a Christian, everything that you do is done to the glory of God. Amen? The Bible says, Colossians 3, whatever you do, do so ever unto the Lord, as you do for the Lord. Everything we do is to be done as if it is done for God. Amen? Amen. I think that when we serve other people, that person's face, we should imagine that that's Jesus, right? That's Jesus. When we serve other people, that's Jesus. Because when we serve other people, we should be serving as though we're serving the Lord. Amen? Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, said this, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Amen? Whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers, whatever you do for the least of these, you did for me. Amen? You know, you will be known by your fruit, right? You will be known by the works that you do. Right? You will be known. You will be known. We will be known by the works that we do, not by the things that we don't do. We will be known by what we do, because people will see God through the things that you do. They're not going to see him by the things that you don't do. They're going to see him by the things that you do. We need to humble ourselves in willing service. I have a riddle for you. I have a riddle for you. Are you ready for this? Okay, get your brain working. Okay, ready? We each have the same amount, but we each have a different amount. We each have the same amount, but we each have a different amount. What is it? We each have the same amount, but we each have different amount. It's not faith. Yes, time. Time. Serving is the best use of time. That's the riddle. We each have the same amount of time, but we each have a different amount of time. We each have 24 hours in a day, yes? Yet each of us have a different span of what we do within that time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Throw yourself into the work of the master. Throw yourself into the work of the master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or waste of effort." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Throw yourself into the work of the master, confident that nothing that you do for him is a waste of time. So throw yourself into the work of the church, right? Of the body of Christ. Throw yourself into whatever it is, the work of the master, in confidence that whatever you're doing is not a waste of your time, but building up the church. Amen? So we can say anything that you do for the church really is not a waste of your time. If you're we can say the things like around this church, for example, if you're in children's ministry or you change a diaper for somebody, right? It's not without value. It's not without value. If you pick up a piece of trash on your way in because you know that if somebody who's visiting sees that trash, they might have a bad thought about this place, so you pick up the trash. It doesn't come without value. It's not worthless, the things that you do for other people. It has value. If you open a door for somebody, it does not go unnoticed. It does not go without value. You help somebody who is in need. It's not a waste of your time. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Amen? So it all counts. Whatever we do to serve, it all counts. Because it's not a matter of what you do. It's a matter of who you do it for. Who are you serving? Who are we serving? What are you doing for God's glory? Are you doing it for God's glory? Or are you doing it for your glory? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Are you doing it for me? Am I doing it for me? Am I here for me? Am I up there for me? Or am I up there for God? Am I in charge of for me? Am I in charge of the new gen for me? Or is it in service to God? To do some of God's work somewhere. You have to ask yourself those questions in whatever it is that you do. Do I do it for me or do I do it for God? Because the word says what? Do all that you do as unto the Lord. Time is something that we all have. Amen? I believe that what makes us great, what makes us set apart, is how we utilize that time. How do we use that time? What makes a great servant different from others is the way they use their time. Are we using it to serve others or are we using it to serve yourself? And I've been dealing with this and God has been speaking to me and I believe that he asked me to share this with you because I went through it and I think we all go through it every day. Where do we put our time? Do we put it in things of God or do we put it in things of self? The fourth thing about serving, about the characteristics of a great Christian or a great believer, the fourth thing might be that serving gives me purpose. Serving gives me purpose. By serving others, we find out who we really are. Mark chapter 8, verse 35, and I'll read this out of the Message. Mark chapter 8, verse 35, and the Message says, "Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is my way to saving yourself, your true self." Mark 8, 35, in the Message. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is my way, is the way to save yourself, your true self. People who are busy, up into their neck with service, they have purpose. They have found their value. They have found their purpose. They have found what it is they're doing. They have found what it is they're supposed to do. They're busy in their calling. They're busy in what they're doing for God. We might look at people and say, oh, they're busy. And some of that might be for self, and some of that might be for God. And I think every one of us has to look at what we're doing and evaluate what we're doing. Is it for me or is it for God? Do everything we do as unto the Lord. Service makes life meaningful. Would you agree? Service makes life meaningful. How we serve other people makes life meaningful. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter. A great servant, I believe, has five main characteristics. And I'm sure there's more, but these are the ones that I found in my study. Has five characteristics. I believe, number one, a great servant is humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So I believe that in order to be a great servant in the kingdom of God, we have to humble ourselves. What is humility? I'm sure some of us have our own definitions of humility. And I believe humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humility, I believe, is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humility is when we're so focused on serving other people that we don't even think about ourselves. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 5. The second characteristic, or the second thing about a great servant, is that a great servant is compassionate. I've heard I've read some things in the past month or so about compassion, and some people talk about sympathy and empathy. But sympathy is when you say, "I'm sorry you're hurting." Empathy is when you say, "I'm hurting with you," but compassion is when you say, "I'll do anything to make you not hurt. I'll do anything to stop you from hurting." That's compassion. Because that takes action. And that takes servitude. Because we commit ourselves to doing anything that will stop them from hurting. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 14. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 very simply says in verse 14, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, it says, "Jesus saw a huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them." And the best thing I can hear about compassion is the last three words of this. It says, "and healed their sick." He had compassion on them enough to say, "I see you're hurting. Let me help you. Let me serve you so you can stop hurting." I believe that's compassion. I believe that is a great mark, one of the true marks of servitude, of a great servant, is to be able to say, "What do you need so we're not hurting? How can I help you so you're not hurting? What can I do for you?" The third thing a great servant is faithful. A great servant is faithful. Faithful to God. A servant obeys God, not out of convenience, but out of conviction. God requires us throughout the Word to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, moreover, verse 2, says, "Moreover, it is required in a servant that one be found faithful." Required that one be found faithful. And in my upbringing, I was raised a Methodist, and so we learned a lot about the Wesleys. Okay, so there's a quote from John Wesley that I came to my mind, and I looked it up because I knew some of it, but I didn't want to just give you a piece. I wanted to give you the whole quote. And it says John Wesley had this motto, and we learned it in our confirmation at our when I was growing up, and it says, "Do all you can, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." I mean, do all the good you can, by all the means that you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places you can, at all times that you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can.
Yeah, it's a good method.
A great servant is faithful. A great servant is focused. The fourth thing about a servant, a great servant focuses on helping others. Right? So we have one is humble, two is compassionate, three is faithful, and four is focused on helping other people. Best verse I could find that really hits the mark for me and makes it as clear is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 11 says this, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." A great servant focuses on helping other people. I have to admit, this particular one is a little bit out of the box for me, personally. Helping other people at my job is really easy, but helping other people outside of my job is a little bit hard because you have to step out and do maybe something that they are needing to do, right? Helping other people. So you have to go out and talk to these people, and that's a little bit out of the box sometimes for most people. And do it without pay. Have you ever heard of the name Dave Thomas? Who's Dave Thomas?
Founder of Wendy's.
I mean, like Wendy's. Right? Founder of Wendy's, right? Somewhere along the road, I read something that Dave Thomas was a devout Christian. And so I read a quote from him somewhere, or he was in a magazine, and he asked how he started. And I'm going to read you this story that he said in this magazine a while back. And on the cover of a magazine at one point in time, and I don't know, he took a picture of himself dressed in knee-length work clothes, holding a mop and an apron and a mop bucket, okay? And in there, he described the picture. He said, "I got my MBA long before my GED. And the person asked him, "How does that happen, right?" He said, "Well, at Wendy's, MBA doesn't mean Master's of Business Administration. It means mop bucket attitude." Mop bucket attitude.
Yeah, that's good.
So Dave Thomas got his MBA from following the model of the master by service, by serving in any way that he can, by doing whatever it is he needed to do to help out. Amen. Amen. I just thought that was a funny story. Number five, the last characteristic of a great servant comes from Philippians. A great servant is not self-centered. A servant puts God and others before himself. And I think a good example is Jesus. Jesus gave up everything. He gave up everything for other people. He gave up everything to come to earth and save us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, "Jesus gave up everything and became a slave when he became like one of us." All these things we talked about here, and all these things that I put together, and all these things that I believe that God was speaking to me about it in my own life, and I think can transfer into your life, into what you do at your job or in your own personal life or the people you talk around, is to be a great servant, one that's humble, one that's compassionate, and one that is faithful, one that is helping others, quick to help, and one that is not self-centered. It's not about you, it's about what you do for God. It's not about me. It's about what I do for God. Many people aren't willing to give up certain things that are about them. But our Savior was willing to give up everything for you and me and everybody else. A great servant is not self-centered. A great servant is concerned about the needs of everybody else before the needs of themselves. You can be a great servant. I can be a great servant. We all can be a great servant. But I believe we have to check our attitude. We have to check inside of us. We have to check ourselves. Why do we need to be servants? Well, I think we went over that. Why should we be a servant to other people? Why should we? Because we were created to serve. We were created that way. We were created to serve other people. God made Adam, and God told Adam to do what? Tend the earth, right? To serve. Tend the earth. You have a job to do. Serve me by tending the earth. Name all the animals, do this, do that, right? We have to be the salt and the light. We have to show our service. Amen? We have to have evidence of our service because that's what people will see. That's what people will see. And it goes along with good works and being the salt and being the light that we've been talking about. Oh, boy. Serving others is a way to serve God. Serving others is the best use of our time. And isn't it a good feeling? Isn't it a good feeling when you truly help somebody? Because that's what we are designed to do. And that's a way to serve our God, is to serve other people. Amen? Serving other people gives us purpose in life. That's one of our purposes to do, is to serve. So if there is something that you can do out there, do it. If there's an opportunity for you to serve, serve. Why? You were born to do it. You were made to do it. We were made to love people. And to love people, we serve them and help them and do whatever it is we need to do. Have compassion on people. Live like Jesus. It all comes down to living like Jesus, because that's what Jesus would do. So we're a follower of Jesus. What did Jesus do in this situation? He had compassion and he healed the sick. What did Jesus do? He talked to them. He brought them food, right? They were hungry. He fed them. He helped them. He served them. They were sick. He healed them. All these things that Jesus did, he did because he came to serve. He came to show God's love. He came to show the people that there was a real God and the real God loved you, right? And the real God wanted you to have these things and wanted you to be great. He came to show that. He came to be the salt. And he asked us to then continue that on. Continue being servants. Continue being the salt. Continue being the light. Continue being these things. Continue the ministry that I came to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's what I wanted to share. That's what I believe the Lord wanted me to share with you tonight. Let's be servants and let it shine. Let the true nature of our Lord shine through. Be a servant to others. It's hard. I'm sure there's times where you don't want to. I'm sure there's times like Jesus didn't want to. But inside of him was the Holy Spirit. And inside of him was the purpose that he was there to become a servant, to help other people. Amen? And that's our purpose. If that was his purpose, then that's our purpose. If that's what he was supposed to do, then that's what I'm supposed to do. If that's what he was supposed to do, that's what we're supposed to do. To serve the people. Amen? To serve the people. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Amen. So as we go about our days and about our lives, let's think about that. If that's what Jesus was doing, that's what I got to be doing. If that's how Jesus did it, that's probably how I got to do it. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we go then this week, let's think about that. Let's dwell on that. Let's think about those things. Put that into practice if we haven't already. Find ways to serve people. Find ways to be compassionate. Find ways to be that servant that Jesus was. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming tonight. I bless you. Have a good week. Have a good rest of the week. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take it home. Eat it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anything that I need to announce? Refer your brother. refer your brother. Amen. 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 Let's have a blessing.